produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Grace, peace, joy, faith, love, Dr. V.
Hello, everyone. This is Dr. V. I am so excited to be with you today here on Love Your Making. It's a leader-to-leader Sage Cup conversation, and we are going to have an awesome conversation today. Come on, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you, Father. We magnify your name this day. We thank you for being so kind, so merciful, so faithful to us. You're that kind of God, and we love you for it. We ask you to give us an anointing today for this broadcast, that those that hear it all around the world will receive this truth and be able to walk in it. You said in your word, we live and we move and we have our being in you. You also said that in your word that we are fearfully and we are wonderfully made. So yet we praise you for that. So Father, again, give Dr. V particularly anointing for this broadcast. And it's in Jesus' name that we praise you and we pray. Amen. Listen, I promise that this broadcast is going to bless you. I believe as much as it blessed me. I want you to quickly get your Bibles and go to the 23rd Psalm. It's so familiar. You've heard it. But listen, today I want you to hear it in a new light. Yes, our mentor today is going to be the under-shepherd, the one called David. And let me share with you that when we finish talking to him, about him as the leader that he was, as a shepherd that he was, and as some of the acts that he did, and some of the leadership roles that he played, you're going to look at leadership in another way. All right, here we go. Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness, hallelujah, and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. How long? Forever. Put a pin right there. I want us to go to 1 Samuel and the 22nd chapter. Yes, we're going there. And when we go there, we want to look at David as he leads. David as he leads these amazing people. And it describes these people in a certain way that I don't think anybody, well, this is the only place in the Bible that any group of people are described like this. I'm going to give you a second to go there. 1 Samuel 22. We're going to look at the first two verses. David, therefore, departed from there, and he escaped to the cave called Adullam. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went to everyone, listen to this, everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented, gathered to him. So he became captain over them. And there was about 400 men with him. He became captain. He became leader of everyone that was in debt, who was in distress, and who were discontent. These soldiers had been under the rule of Saul, but Saul had overtaxed them to his, overtaxed them so that he might heap more and more unto himself. But they were discontented about it. They were distressed about it, and they were in debt. And so here, they became loyal to David, and David took them on. And the Bible tells us that they became a great company of warriors under his leadership. So why would I go to the 23rd Psalm? I went there because the leadership quality that David had was that of a shepherd, which we found out how a shepherd leads in Psalms 23. And in looking at it again from a leadership perspective, we look at how David started out in a very powerful way. These soldiers who were wanting, they were in great want. He writes here in Psalms 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." What? "And I shall not want." It's kind of like making a big move. Like if you came to this church, listen, you're going to be a people, no matter what state that you came here in, when you go through our boot camp and you go through our training, you are going to be a people unrecognizable to your own self, because you're going to be satisfied. You're going to be at peace. You're going to be content. You're going to be out of debt to God, because you're going to learn how to worship him and praise him and study his word and be about his business. There's going to be treasures in your house, because the word of God is now operating inside of you and inside of your family and inside of your home, in your community. Listen, you're being strengthened and you're being developed as a soldier for the kingdom now. And my shepherd leadership skills are going to make you that promise. You're not going to have any want. We will often hear people say that I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. You will have those kinds of testimony when you come over to the leadership style in the church, that of David. So David makes that promise in Psalms 23. If the Lord is your shepherd, you're not going to have any want. He's going to make you lie down in green pastures. I don't know where these soldiers were resting before they came to David, but David was promising them in parallel to this song, listen, the way you lay down, it's going to change. It's not going to be dust and barrenness, but it's going to be green pastures. And the waters that you sip from, because a sheep would not sip from troubled waters, they're going to be calm waters. Ah, he leads me beside the still waters. And listen to this. This is what I love about that 23rd Psalm. Your soul is going to be restored. Oftentimes, and I've been a pastor before and an associate pastor, and I'm looking at the sheep, I'm looking at the congregation, and I'm going like, whose soul needs to be restored? Who comes in here and looking like and acting like they don't have a shepherd in their lives, or they don't know the power of God to as a Jehovah Jireh, one who provides, as Jehovah Rapha, one who heals, as Jehovah Tiskanu, one who righteousness they can dress up in. I mean, who looks in want here? Because we're going to have to address that, because I'm a shepherd to the liking of David and also to Jesus. And so I look at this Psalms in a different light right now, because I'm looking at it as, have I really, really, really taken on the mantlehood of shepherdhood as a leader like David did? And when I look at the story in 1 Samuel, the 22nd chapter, of all these 400 men who were in debt, who were in distress, who were discontent, am I building that kind of army in my church, as a leader, on my job, as a team leader, in my business, as a team leader that has a shepherd anointing? Are the people wanting for anything? Are they distressed about anything? Are they discontent? And a shepherd will look at that and address that. And so a leader-to-leader conversation with you today is, listen, find out. The Bible says, know those who labor among you. Find out. Make sure you know firsthand if anybody under your leadership is in distressed about, is it emotionally, physically, spiritually, financially, are they indebted or in great debt, whether it's a real debt, like I owe the IRS, or like I owe, so many people. Address those issues. Now, it's going to be hard for people to praise when they're full of debt. It's got hard for them to work and to volunteer and to teach and to preach and to counsel and to be great congregants if they are oppressed like that in debt. Listen, there are a lot of people. I can raise my hand both high. I've been there, done that. There are a lot of people in setting up in church full of debt. They owe so many creditors. And around this time of year, here in the USA at least, a lot of people get in debt because they're trying to overextend themselves during the holidays from Thanksgiving to Christmas. A lot of people really, really, truly get in debt, and they're still paying for last year or maybe the Christmas before debt, and they still get into more debt. So as a shepherd, as a leader with a shepherd anointing, you're going to address those issues. Yes, within the context of your leadership, and or if you are a pastor within your church, find out who's in debt. And then begin to teach and address those things so that people can come out under that. That was going to be a part of their discipleship training. Listen, pay Caesar. Jesus said, what you owe Caesar. But listen, owe no man nothing but love. And so what would it be like in your church or in your organization, in your sphere of leadership, if nobody in your leadership was in any kind of debt? Any kind of distress and any kind of discontentment, I think you'd have a strong evangelistic team. I think everybody would be going and say, listen, I'm up now under the leadership of a Bishop Tutu and apostle and pastor. And since I've been under their leadership, I've come completely out of debt. I don't stress anymore. My health is better. I'm eating better. I'm treating my family better. I'm treating myself better. I'm treating my neighbor better. I know love like I've never known it before because of the leadership training that I've got. I know peace like I've never known it before because they teach me how to find peace in my God and receive peace from my God, from the Word of God even. And so that leaders, I'm asking you to make that a particular mandate and hallmark and trademark and signature of your leadership, that everybody that you lead find themselves squarely in Psalms 23 and making that kind of, having that kind of testimony. There's no want with me after I've been trained, as I've been constantly trained in this ministry. My leader is very concerned if I'm in debt, if I'm discontented, or I'm distressed about anything, and it is addressed the way this ministry rolls out. It is addressed the way within his leadership style. Even though, look at this, verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Oh, there's some fearful people within your leadership. Because yes, in this life, we are going to have trials and tribulations. But do you have to walk around through the spirit of fear? No, you do not. We serve a God that goes before us to make the crooked places straight, that perfects those things that we're concerned about, because he's full of mercy. He will not forsake the work of his hands in our lives. And that is being taught to me from my leader every day, all the time. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so the word is so rich within my leadership that my congregants, those that I lead, look at me as an under shepherd, a powerful under shepherd that walks in the word of God and makes it alive and makes it supportive and palatable in my life style. And so that a spirit of correction and instruction within your leadership style? Yes. The congregation will know, listen, I'm being guided. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. In other words, that scripture says, listen, I'm being guided by discipline, by instruction, by reproof, by correction. That's what the word of God is given for. And under my leadership, I know my leadership is guiding me based on the word of God. And so I feel like I'm being shepherded. I not just feel like I'm being led by someone who has a charismatic personality and they're able to draw hundreds and people to give a whole lot of money. But no, as a soldier in this ministry, under this leadership, I'm being guided. I'm being instructed. I'm being disciplined. And so that I see the table of the Lord set in my presence. It's set with his word. It's set with the fruit of his word. And that in the face of the enemy, I've taught how to confront him with the word of God. So, but you prepare a table before me, and it's in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Listen, every mark of your leadership should be marked by the anointing of the Holy Spirit operating in you as a leader first, and then it flows over to those that you lead in your congregation. It should overflow. The anointing of the Holy Spirit operating in your life should just overflow to those that you're called to lead. Yes, when you have a shepherd anointing, there's going to be some awe. There's going to be some operation of the Holy Spirit. Come on, agree with me, right? Come on, agree with me. I'm full of this word. I've been marinating on it. I have declared, Dr. V, in my ministry, 33 plus years, I have declared that I'm going to really focus on my shepherd anointing. That is Holy Ghost filled and led and dripping over to those that God has called me to lead. Because I know that any day, if he's going to add to my ministry, add to my church, that the likelihood of those new people being people who are discontent, who are in debt, and who are distressed is very, very high. Come on, if there's going to be inefficient, if I'm going to be doing any fishing for any new members, if they've been out in the world, you can't tell me. I know I didn't, and I saw so many people did not as well, that you did not come in from the world with a spirit of debt and distress and discontentment. Really, that drove you to the church anyway. That drove you to a ministry that's operating under the anointing of God anyway. You came because you were tired and sick of being sick and tired. You came because you needed some peace. You came because you needed some love. You came because you needed some instruction. You needed some protection. You needed some healing. Come on now, somebody. Why do people come to church? They don't come to church because you got a beautiful glass cathedral. They came because there is an anointing under your leadership that people are changed, that they're healed, they're set free, that they're delivered, that the power of God operates in you and through you, and that your leadership is subject to the leadership of the great shepherd. Come on. Can people say about your leadership, I know that my leader has been with God. I know that the Holy Ghost just drips off from them. I see it. It's a visible anointing that they carry. The power that they walk in is from the power of the Holy Spirit being filled and being taught and being led by the Holy Spirit. There should be, if you're a strong shepherd, then your sheep should say, listen, under my leadership, I don't want. Under my leadership, the debt is constantly being decreased. The stress is constantly being minimized, and the discontentment is barely there because we are at a table prepared for us by the shepherd, huh? The table is a rich table. It's a festive table. It is a table where you will not want from because you're there. What am I doing today, leader? I'm encouraging you to pray. When you pray, ask God for a shepherd anointing. Show him how you can be more submissive as a leader, to walk in and have the mantle of a shepherd's anointing as a leader. Hallelujah. Come on now, somebody. I want that. I am 65 years old, young. I'm 65 years young. Correct that. I'm correcting that. I'm 65 years young. Dr. V is 65 years young, and I have been a leader for over 33 years, and I want to intensify my leadership skills with that of a shepherd's anointing. David had it. David could take 400 men who were in distress, who were indebted, and who were discontent, and make them a mighty, mighty army. In fact, he did so well that Saul's soldiers that were still with him, Saul got fearful that his soldiers were going to leave him and go with David because they could see the anointed on David, not only as a warrior, but as a leader. And he began to just kind of like encourage them not to do it. Read it. Go into 22nd. Go into Samuel and read it with a different light and see 1 Samuel and see how David led these men, and see, it intimidated Saul, and Saul wanted to kill him all the more. Not only had David won the heart of his own son, Jonathan had admired David so much that he wanted to help him even escape the death threats of his own father. So much in there, right? So much is in there. Listen, I want to encourage you today. This is the sageness of this cup. Go back and look at the 23rd Psalm. Look at yourself as you pray and say, God, I don't have that shepherd's anointing yet. I have the form of it, but I don't have it as richly as David had it. And I want that kind of anointing in my life. Go back and read the book of Samuel again. Go back and pray again to Father. Father, I need that. Teach me how to receive that kind of anointing in my life. Teach me how to discern those that you send me, that they're in debt, and have those confrontive conversations with them, both on the physical, spiritual, and financial level, that I find out where they are. What's the state? What is the condition of those that come one by one and all together as a congregation and as a group, as a team? And Father, intensify my anointing as a shepherd leader so I can discern and I can and raise up a soldier that is a mighty soldier for the kingdom of God, because I drip with the shepherd's anointing. I walk with the shepherd's anointing. I live and move and have my being inside the great shepherd, Jesus Christ. And it's evident of that because it rose out in my leadership. It rose out in my ministry. It is a part of who I am. David was a mighty warrior. He was a great and courageous leader, and he was full of love and compassion. He loved the Lord. He respected authority. Hold up. Just a minute. That's another sign of a shepherd leader. He knows the power of his respected authority. He himself was under authority. We are under the great shepherd. And as under shepherds, we ought to pray every day that the perfection of our leadership and shepherd anointed be just that, like it is in Psalm 23. I'm just saying. And so that I want to leave you next time we come together. You know, we're rolling toward the end of the year, my favorite time of the year between Thanksgiving and Christmas, where I give God the great glory. And I thank him so much for everything that he's done in my life. And I want to end strong as a leader. And I want you to end strong as a leader. So that is my prayer for you today. Father, in the name of Jesus, every leader that's listening to this broadcast all over the world, every pastor, every apostle, every evangelist, every teacher, every congregant that's called to lead anyone, that they hear this. Father, my prayer today for them is they desire the shepherd's anointing like David had, like Jesus had mostly, that they desire that in their lives. And Father God, you said that when we need something to ask of you, we're asking for wisdom. And we're asking you for that kind of wisdom, to walk in that kind of anointing. And we thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, we praise you. And we pray because you are the God who answers our prayer. We love our making. Why? Because you are making us, Father. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. I'll talk to you soon. Love you much. This is Dr. V with Love Your Making.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Benita DeReese with Create Your Own You. And as I always say, become the person who you want to be and not what others want us to be. Because there are so many times we always take the direction of what others want, where others want us to be at, and that's not something that we want to fulfill personally. So always choose to do what you want and be the leader and not the follower. So I am so happy to be back on with you guys tonight, this evening, the morning, depending on what side of the world you are on, because we are worldwide. I hope everything is going extremely, extremely well, given what's going on with the world and all the different crises we have. But just believe, if you woke up on this side of the grass, you are doing very well, no matter what is going on throughout the day. Always, always think of something positive in the day that's going to make you happy. Today, I do have a special guest on the line. Her name is Lisa Stringer Bailey. She is the owner of Triple M Money Management Matters. Over the past few days, she has been doing Facebook Lives called Money Matters, so she knows where to put your money at, what to do with your money, and how not to throw your money away. She's also an author of You Have No Idea the Hell I've Been Through. That was a collaboration book she did with a couple of other females, and it was it's a really, really nice book. So if you haven't got that book, at the end she'll probably tell you how you can get it. I have a friend that's also in that particular book too. Lisa, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. Hello.
Hi. How's it going?
Oh, going well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. I'm glad you can get on the show tonight. I know it was short notice, but you know, when it's time to do business, it's time to do business. You know,
absolutely.
You know, so we kind of block out time when it's, you know, things of importance come up. So now with the money matter, what are the objective you trying to get people to understand when it comes to their money?
Okay, well, Money Management Matters, my company, was formed out of a passion and a purpose from me and from God that says our people need to do better with their money and use it in a more fulfilling direction, and living, a lot of people that's living paycheck to paycheck or feeling stressed or full of anxiety or full of worry, it's not how God wants us to live here on earth. So, and it starts with our resources. We got to remember that what we have really have come from God, and money is part of our resources. So money is what we're using, not necessarily in a bad way, but not in the correct way. And it's leaving us, you know, less than. It's leaving us worried at night. It's leaving us working paycheck to paycheck, as they say. And we're not saving money as we should. For example, this whole pandemic that came upon us, nobody knew about it. It has, you know, caught us off guard, and a lot of people that has lost their jobs, guess what? They had no money set aside to fall back on in a savings account or anything to hold them up. So a lot of people are losing their homes, you know. They don't have food to eat. They can't pay their utilities. It's just a sad situation, and Money Matters is came about just to get people thinking differently about their money and get them thinking more on the side of saving instead of spending.
Right, and I totally, totally agree with you as far as this pandemic. You know, that's just something that came up. And that's the thing I used to always tell people, that you should have some type of resources put away for any type of an emergency account. I always tell people to start off with $1,000 and then build from there. So is that something you would agree to?
Yes, absolutely. Especially right now, you want to start out small. And if it don't even have to be $1,000. If you can get $500 placed somewhere out of your sight, out of your mind, something that you know you will have, that's a good start. But just keep putting it in there. Keep putting it in there. It don't matter how small the amount. You can put a dollar in there. Whatever specific amount you have left over after you paying your bills and expenses, that needs to go into a savings account instead of going, you know, somewhere that we really don't need. You know, one of those expenses that we just a luxury. Yes, you know, like a coffee or a Starbucks or going out to eat and things like that. Instead, put it into that savings account until you have $1,000 saved. And then after that, you want to think more, like, I need to have at least 3 months' worth of income saved in a savings account. That's your ultimate goal, 3 to 6 months. But, of course, start small. Start at $1,000. That's a great starting point.
Okay, that's great, great. You know, I always say pay yourself first. What do you think about that? Because I know when I get paid, I take my cut off the top, and then I pay my bills because I want to make sure that I am actually taking money out for myself before I start to spend anything to put into a savings account, investment account, IRA, things of those natures, just to make sure that I'm, and when I say that is, you know, when you get paid, have an automatic deduction coming out your check where you don't even notice it. It's going to like a whole separate bank account. Do you think people should also have something like that set up?
Absolutely. That is a perfect, perfect idea. I do that myself. Once you already have it automated coming out of your paycheck every pay period, you don't even think about it. So it's gone. It's somewhere in a different account that you can't even get to, don't even have a debit card for it. Okay? That's a good idea to pay yourself first. And you can use that account as your emergency savings account if you want to, or you can use it as, you know, a future goal that you have, a down payment on a home, or your children's college education, whatever. But long as it's out of your sight, perfect.
Yeah, I totally agree. Well, the bank that I have my money go to is quite funny because it's not even near me.
Right.
So in order for me to even go get some money, I have to drive out to the bank and get it. So, you know, it's outside my city. So it's one of them things, like I did a double whammy, like it's coming out my check and the bank is not near me.
That's exactly right, because it's going to also give you a chance to think twice before you say, oh, well, I got this little money to the side. I might can use that for this little expense I'm thinking about doing. You're going to think twice about it because you got to go some extra steps or some extra miles to get to that money.
Right, exactly. So you said you started this out of a passion. Is it something personally that you dealt with, or are you just saying on the masses that people needed to learn about their money management and, you know, how to handle it?
Right. It's a little bit of both. First of all, I did have something personal happen in my life. Over my lifetime, I have had several financial issues myself that I had to learn from and grow from. But the particular thing that happened that got me to start my business is my sister passed away at a very young age, unexpectedly, and her money matters was not in order when she passed away. Particularly, she did not have life insurance policy. So that left the family under a lot of stress and strain and trying to figure out what to do with all her possessions. And she had a home, and the home wasn't covered. So we lost the home, and her children had nothing to fall back on. So when I saw that happen, I was like, this cannot happen to another family because it's very devastating for the family. And it just made me realize that there's a lot of families out there that is not properly covered in life insurance. So one thing, because that is my specialty. I'm a licensed life insurance agent. But then a lot of people would tell me they can't afford a life insurance policy because their money is all over the place. They don't know where their money goes. They feel like they can't afford it. So as a money manager, I show people where they can afford it. Once I take a look at what they're spending their money on, I'd be like, well, you can deduct this and deduct this and deduct this, and you will have money for a sufficient life insurance policy to cover your family.
Right, exactly. And that's the thing. There's so many people that, you know, that's not covered. And like you said, they feel like they can't afford it. But when somebody said they can't afford it to me, and I see a pair of brand new sneakers on your feet that you possibly paid $150 for, I say, well, how can you afford them sneakers on your feet? You know, you have to, you know, sometimes what people don't put value on themselves, they put value on other things. Just like I was explaining to somebody the other day, as far as like, you know, I do credit repair. So I was explaining to them, you know, I have a credit monitoring system, and, you know, I pay $30 a month for it. And they said, just for somebody to monitor your credit? I said, no, just for me to have a sense of mind knowing that if something goes wrong with my credit, they're going to send me an alert immediately. I said, anything fraudulent happens, I hire their lawyer. I said, so it's like, do you got cable? They was like, yeah. So cable is more important than something that's attached to your Social Security number. You know, absolutely. And when you say it like that, they'd be like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. It's like a light bulb that go off. And right. I think so many of us, we don't put the value on us personally, but the things, you know, that I can grab, that I call it the glitter and gold effect. You know, I got to have this. I got to have the latest this. I got to have the newest this. I got to have this. Got to have that. And then, you know, once you sit there and think about it, you spent so much money when you could have spent that on some type of a life insurance policy or some type of an investment account, you know, something that is going to be beneficial to you.
Absolutely.
So, I love what you're doing because so many people just don't understand it until you really break it down and say, hey, over here in this, I mean, in your budget, you said you get coffee twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're paying $10 a day for coffee. That's
right.
Like a $400 budget a month.
Right. Exactly.
You know? So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's this book. I don't know if you actually ever read it. It is called, I did a, one of my radio shows on it. It is called The Latte Factor by David Botch.
Mm-mm,
and it talks about a young girl, I think she's like in her middle 20s, on how she can't afford nothing, but she buys Starbucks every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yeah, it's a really, really good book. And it's funny because I was sitting up there reading, and I'm like, oh, yep, I know people like that, yep. So once she, at the lunch, you know, she totaled up her Starbucks, I believe it, yeah, I think it was a Starbucks. She totaled it up for like a year and a half, and she spends, I mean, when I say thousands and thousands of dollars,
mm-hmm.
that's where her money was at, so she stopped.
I believe it.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it. Yeah. That's the predicament that a lot of us are in, and we just don't realize it. And it's like what you said, we don't value our own life, but we would value a material thing that don't have any value at all after you purchase it. Like those shoes you mentioned, no value after you purchase it, okay? So I think, too, and I try to tell my customers and clients that it's a mindset shift, okay? We've been thinking all our lives that we need a material thing to give value to ourselves or to appear a certain way. But when in reality we need to be thinking, we need to value ourselves, okay? And that's what we really need is an inside value, a value of our human life, not a materialistic thing that's going to, you know, go away at any time.
Yeah.
So
and
I think
funny.
It's a mindset shift for sure.
It's definitely a mind shift. The thing about that is I'm so grateful for my mom, the way she raised us, because she raised us not to be materialistic. And, you know, you don't have to have the latest this, and you don't have to have the new this and the new that. I mean, growing up, we had, you know, when she brought clothes for just enough. Okay, throw it in the washing machine at the end of the week, wear it again next week. You know, it wasn't buying 30 pairs of pants and 20 shirts and things of that nature because she wanted us to grow up knowing, okay, materialistic items are not important. You know, other things as you grow up will be important. You'll learn that as you go. So, you know, I try to teach that to my nieces and nephews now, which, you know, a lot of them, you know, my nieces and nephews, they pretty much know, don't come in here talking about the latest this and the latest that, because I don't want to hear it. And, you know, so they pretty much know. But, yeah, the way my mind, if we wanted something for, you know, we seen it at the store and we wanted it, it wasn't like the gimme syndrome that they have today. You know, that, you know, the kids go to the store, the parents just buy it. Back then, you know, we wanted it. We may not have got it for 3 to 6 months later, but we got it.
Absolutely. And that's unfortunately, that's the world we're living in right now. We're living in a materialistic world that's promoted all over the airways, now on our cell phones, and every kid got a cell phone, so they want what every other kid has. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. So what was your – when did you, like, put this in place, this whole – Triple Money Management. How long have you been doing this?
I've been doing this about 3 years. Since my sister passed away in 2016, and I was so distraught. Like I said, our family went through a lot dealing with that. And I did a lot of prayer, a lot of asking God, what should I do? And he laid this on my heart. Now, I have been in the financial industry all my life. I've been in banking. I was a bank teller and worked my way up to the branch manager. And then after 17 years in banking, I decided I wanted to go back to school, got my master's in accounting and finance because I wanted to do more accounting work. So when I first started my business, I thought it would be a bookkeeping business because I did a little bookkeeping on the side here and there, but I didn't see that grow, and I wasn't really getting the passion out of that. So I went back to prayer and asked, Lord, you gave me this name, Triple M Money Management Matters, but I'm not feeling the passion for it. And that's when he gave me life insurance. He said, no, I gave it to you for life insurance because I need you to make sure everybody is covered and not leaving their family in distress. And that's in the Bible. I don't know the verse right now, but it is in the Bible about leaving inheritance for your children's children or leaving your widow taken care of. It's in the Bible. That's what we're supposed to do while we're here on earth. So he gave me life insurance, went through the whole training of the life insurance and got my license. And now this business has really been flourishing, especially since the pandemic of 2020. So, you know, it's just a whole awakening now that it's more prevalent now, the reason why we need this.
Right, right, exactly. It's funny because I'm studying for my life insurance now. I should be done with it by now, but with not being able to go to pre-licensing, without being able to go to pre-licensing class, you know, in person, taking it over taking it online is just taking me a little bit more time to do.
Yeah, and it ain't no joke. I mean, the serious money studies about the way money works and, you know, the policies and the procedures and the laws and the regulations, it's no joke. But it's a serious situation that that a lot of people need to be, you know, have this product in their families and in their money plans and in their budgets. Seriously.
Right, right. Exactly. So if somebody wanted to start a budget, what would you tell them to start with?
I like to tell people just to make some time. Right now, everybody is so busy. Everybody is working many hours a day, 7 days a week. But I tell people, you have got to put some value on your time. You have had to take some time to spend with your money, okay? It's almost like a date. I did a Facebook Live on that. Have you made a date with your money? Because if you're not sitting down with a pencil and a pad or a Excel spreadsheet or even an online app for our younger folks who don't want to do nothing but technology, get on that. You know, you're going to input your numbers, how much money you got coming in. You want to, and I would start with your gross amount of money that you got coming in. Put that in first, not your net, because you really need to see exactly how much money you're starting with, how much money's going out for health insurance, how much money going out for taxes, how much going out for retirement, 401k, if you have that. Every single item that you got coming out of your pay needs to be on this budget. And I'm talking about from those top things all the way down to that latte or that Starbucks coffee that you're purchasing. Every single dime needs a place. And it's up to you in your budget, in your time with your money, to tell that money where to go, okay? Because let me tell you, if you don't sit down with your money and tell it where to go, your money is going all over town, and you don't know where it's at. So I don't know how many times I have heard people say, I don't know where all my money went. What?
Right,
well, have
right.
You got a budget? Are you spending any time with your money?
Right. So you hear it so much, so much. Yeah, I did a show about that, too. It was called Assigning Your Money.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You have got to do. A lot of people don't do that. It's an old, right now, if you remember me coming from the banking industry, I remember the ledgers. We used to give out ledgers all the time
right.
to customers that kept track of their money. And the people that we did give it to, which is the older generation, they had money in the bank. Let me just tell you, these are people with money. Now, people without money, you tell them, give them a ledger, they ask, what's this for? They're like, what is this? And toss it in the trash. They don't know nothing about writing down the money they got coming in and writing down the money that they got going out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we're in the predicament we are today. We're living paycheck to paycheck, and we're not taking affording ourselves a simple, necessary life insurance policy to cover our life and our family's life. So.
Right. And it's funny because I'm still old school. When my bills come in the mailbox, I stack them in the pile. And then a week or two before I have to pay them, I've got a notebook. I write everything down. I open the envelopes up. Electric bill, $75. Gas bill, $85. Mm-hmm. And I write it all down. But that's something my mom taught me, though. I mean, yeah, with new technology, I could just, zip it through the bank and just look at the calculations. That's cool. But actually, when you like you said, sit down and write it out, it gives you a different perspective of your money.
Absolutely.
Because you're looking at it now. You're writing it and you're looking at it. So that also helps with what you were saying earlier in regards to the money mind shift,
Because you can see it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What your eyes see is different from what your mind sees.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't just have it in your head. So you just have in your head that it ain't working. It's not going to pan out. So
right.
once you lay your eyeballs on it, that when it pans out, and like you said, gives a whole different perspective.
Yep, it totally does. And like I said, if more and more people did sit down and just write their bills out, they would be in a better position than what they are now. Because like you said, old school people, you give them a checkbook, they're like, oh, I got this much. Oh, I can't spend nothing else till next week or 2 weeks because I got this much money. But what everybody just hears, you go to debit card. They're not looking at a balance. They're not looking at nothing. Mm-hmm. They just know they get paid again next Friday. That's what they know.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. And that's why we in the predicament we in. So that's one of my missions is to change people's mind about how they think about their money.
Yeah, I'm right with you. I'm so with you because I've been since this whole thing of sitting in the house and COVID, I was getting into the financial industry about like 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was working. Then when this happened, I ended up like, okay, let me do the credit and financial stuff now. And why I got the time to do it. So I'm right with you with all of that, and I think we need more people. We need some more soldiers to help us do this,
Oh, absolutely.
Because, we can't – there's not enough of us out here spreading the word on how to manage your money and how to maintain it. I always say you make money, you manage money, and you multiply it. Those are my three M's, Because it's not make money and throw it away. You have to make the money, and then you have to manage it.
You have to manage it.
But you also want to figure out ways to multiply it, and that's where you come in with the investments and life insurance, like that. So you have to have those three M's in consideration when, thinking about your money.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I am proud of you. I'm so glad there's somebody else out there helping with this financial crisis we got going on and getting people to understand to not just buy everything, It's funny because people see me and they're like, you still got that car? I've been driving the same car since 2011, and it's a 2009 car.
That's all right, honey. All right.
But I don't have a car, no.
Okay. And to tell the truth, some of the richest people in this world is driving older cars.
Yes, they are. Yes.
I mean, I can't name them, but, hey, Google it. There's some people out there, and you wouldn't even know they're millionaires.
Listen, a lot of them have just plain Fords in their driveway.
That's it.
You'll be surprised, like, what? Really?
Yeah, it's a book out there called The Millionaire Next Door. That's it right there. You don't even know they a millionaire.
Listen, I got that on my wall.
They know how to manage their money.
Listen, I got it on my wall. Like, I want to be the millionaire next door. You won't even know it, but I am.
That's it. That's it. That's it. That's where we need to be.
Right. Well, I do want to thank you for your time. Tell everybody how they can contact you, what's your social media handles, or, you know, have books out. You know, let them know how to get a hold of you.
Okay. Well, I am on Facebook as Lisa Stringer Bailey. It's my personal page. You can always friend me or DM me there. Facebook as well. My business name is Triple M Money Management Matters. Then I have my IG Instagram page is Manage Money Matters is on IG. Manage Money Matters, because my other name was taken. You can always schedule a free consultation with me. I do not charge to speak to someone for an hour consultation. We can talk about your financial situation. You can ask me questions. I can see how I can help you, and I can set you up with a financial needs analysis where we can see where we can find some money for a life insurance policy if you do not have one. My schedule link is www.bitly.com/moneymoment. That's my scheduler. You can schedule a consultation with me there, private message, DM me, and I will get back with you within 24 hours.
Okay, so you guys have all her information. Please reach out to her, especially if you have money questions, what to do with your money, where to put your money. She will set you straight. I am going to sign off until next time. This is Vanita DeRees with Lisa Stringer Bailey, and I will see you guys in another week and a half. Peace and blessings to everyone. Good morning, good night, enjoy.
Thank you.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the Internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.